World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, first of all, right out of the chute, for those of you who care, some of you don't care. I'm kicking this cold's butt. Finally, I went to naturopaths. I went to a bone cruncher, a chiropractor, early this week. He got me on some good stuff. My head's clearing up. My cough is clearing up, and I just appreciate all the advice, everybody. Some of the stuff I'd be eating and drinking if I followed everybody's advice out there. And then here's part of the problem. A lot of these things kind of duplicate themselves, you know. They said, hey, Coach, take the hydroxychloroquine and mix it with turmeric. And Coach, take that turmeric and mix that stuff with, you know how the game's played, right? So I get it. I appreciate it. But you know what? Dr. Paul's in here. When I take this, Paul, does it cancel this? Do these two things work together? Have you ever thought about that, folks, and all the herbs and mixing everything together? Are they counteracting each other? I mean, it really, who knows? So I went to the bone cruncher, and, you know, he gave me some stuff. It's kind of funny because he didn't really ask me what else I was taking. And I thought, man, I wonder if these things are fighting each other. But I guess if it's natural stuff, I probably can't mess it up too much. So anyway, thank you for all of you out there who are concerned. I had an unbelievable night's sleep last night, and it's good. We're heading in the right direction. I mowed yesterday. Believe it or not, I got the thing mowed, and then it rained cats and dogs last night. So I got that off my plate, off my table. And just appreciate you all being here with us. Hang on here a second. I got some stuff. Look, I was bemoaning a little bit before I went live here this morning. I pull my glasses on. I got a cough drop in my mouth. This is show 2,434. Is that what you have, Spencer? 2,000. Because sometimes we get off on numbers. 2,434. What have you done 2,434 times? What have you done to get up at 5:30 in the morning and do 90 minutes of prayer? And I'm not. I don't pray 90 minutes. I don't sound like that. Prayer. Research, yada, 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 to do an hour show that sometimes becomes a two-hour show. Dudes, that takes a lot. First of all, it takes a hell of a lot of dedication to do it. I love doing it. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. But, you know, I'm not going to scratch everybody's itch. It's just kind of the way it is. Not everybody's itch gets scratched. And sometimes we question your theology, and sometimes I tell you the truth. I don't know mine. And I ask myself this, my wife, she's always banging on me. I love my wife. She's, wow. Anyway, what do you guys want? Am I doing an entertainment show? Is this Johnny Carson? Is this Oral Roberts? I think this is a pretty open forum. You can say what you want. Nobody's going to punch you in the mouth. Nobody's going to block you. Nobody's going to throw you out. And I don't want all of you to know. I don't know about you, but the spiritual growth I've received here through this give and take has been it's been unbelievable. And let me say this. And I'm 72. I started this show 7 years ago. How many years ago? A long time ago. 5 years ago. I never received any of the teachings in church that I've received here at Coach Dave Live. When somebody say amen, amen, say, Coach, I don't always agree with you, but at least you're touching on some subjects that I never even thought about, to be honest with you, stuff that I was blindly believing and didn't even know why. I thought the government was here to protect me. I thought my theology was the right one. I didn't know there was another one that counteracted that. I didn't know there were 44,000 different Christian denominations. I didn't know that. So I'm just saying, man. I'm doing the best I can here, man. I'm doing the best I can. I appreciate it. Some of you have been here. How long have you been here, Betty? How long have you been in here, Betty?
About 3.5 years.
Only 3.5?
Yes. Only 3.5. I never went with you to the Guidestones or to J6. I did not even know you. None of you. Yeah. I think it was in 21, maybe 22.
Vinny, how long you been hanging around?
I wasn't on the first show, but I was on
not too long
from then. Yeah.
Yep, pretty long. So, my wife sometimes says, well, honey, who's your audience? I said, man, I don't know. They keep coming back. Some of them fall off. New ones come, and it kind of is what it is. So God bless you. Oh, I got some really, really good stuff. I say that every week, don't I? I got some, really some. Let me ask you this. You watching what's going on in the Middle East? And your and my perspective on what's going on in the Middle East is shaped by our theology. You could all agree with that, wouldn't you? Some of us say, oh boy, the Bible's coming alive. Well, others will say, ah, man, maybe not so much. Sorry, I don't mean to do that to you. Huh? Yeah. Well, we're in unbelievable times for sure. No doubt about that. But do we really understand why? What's going on? I don't know. But I got something today. Let me jump off with this right away. Can you scratch it? Pull up, it says General Flynn. My nose itches. Wow, sorry. Pull up, it says General Flynn. Yes, Don. The bank is not Iran's bank, is not Rothschild's controlled. Follow the bankers, right? I'm with you on that, okay? Now, this is from General Flynn. He posted it on Facebook. And I want you to walk through this with me, folks. Look. Are you looking at me? Look at me. What the hell was the Gulf War all about? What was that thing? What was that about? When was the Gulf War?
90s.
What date? Anybody know when was the Gulf War?
Early 1990. 91.
Early 1990. When did the Twin Towers get blown up by America? Do you know?
9/11, 2001.
2001. And we were in the Gulf War in when, Betty? 1990s? 1990s?
I remember getting ready,
1991. We're still over there messing around.
The Desert Storm was before that.
What's that, Johnny?
Desert Storm. That was 1991. George Walker Bush. Yeah, said that this was going to be the one world order first challenge.
Amen. So we've been fighting this thing. Folks, what if we really don't know the full story? What if we're living in a country right now today where we don't really know who killed JFK? We don't really know the facts about the moon landing. We don't really know about why we went into the Gulf War. I could run down a litany of things that we really don't know. We really don't know. We just have to take the advice. We have to trust others that they're telling us the truth. And I was thinking back to 9/11. That's 2001. That's 24 years ago. And now they still are burying the truth about what really happened there. That huge, folks, come on now. I'm going somewhere. Those towers didn't come down by two planes. If you can believe that if you want to. I don't know what all was going on. I know George W. Bush sat in front of us and talked about a new world order. You guys remember that? I know this. George H.W. Bush's daddy was head of the CIA when John F. Kennedy was killed in Dallas. You guys know that, right? You know that. And if we're dumb enough to think that these things are just happenstance, that there's no connection that's going on, if they're able to lie to us about things that have happened right in front of us in our lifetime, what other lies have they told us about history? And you and I go around, we read the history books. Well, who wrote them? Who wrote the history books? And I'm not questioning the Bible. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. But I don't think we got the whole story even in the Bible. Is that sacrilegious to say that? Is that sacrilegious to say that I don't know if the whole truth is in the Bible? I don't know. That sounds blasphemous. But we have people in America who cannot still believe COVID truth just from 4 years ago. And if everybody shuts up about it, then the lie that they told us about COVID will go to our history books. And they'll talk about this horrible pandemic that came, and we'll teach it to our children and our grandchildren. And most of what they'll told us about it wasn't even true. But somebody say amen, just so at least I got one friend out there.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care what the truth is. I just want to know it. I just want to know it, man. And you think about, stay with me here a second. David and Goliath, they were real people. Do you know that? They were real people. Let me ask you something. Who were the stenographers that recorded the battle of David and Goliath? Who were those guys? Who were the guys who recorded the story of Noah's Ark? Who were those guys? Now, friend, look, I'm not trying to get you to question the Bible. I'm trying to get you to think. Because so much that we deal with, that's why I like coming in here, we're not afraid to dive into somebody's favorite pile of mess and say, that isn't true. And that isn't true. Who told you that? Where did you hear that? What? They're telling us about the 911, all this, and architects and engineers for truth are telling us an entirely different story about what happened with them. I don't get bogged down with this. There's something going on that we don't understand. We Bible believers. Now, we believe something's going on, but we don't know what it is. I saw this from General Flynn. Okay, I hear you. Some of you don't like him. Okay. Some of you don't trust him. Some people don't like me. Some people don't trust me. Here's what General Flynn wrote today. Israel's fighting a vicious and incredibly radicalized regime. They're after the psychotic leadership. Listen, Israel's after the psychotic leadership, not the people of Iran. Just like here in America, Barack Obama was a fraud who stole America from us. Barack Obama was the problem, not the American people. Do you understand the difference, folks? Do you understand the difference? Would anybody give me an amen and agree with that? That he was, there was no, absolutely no doubt that he was a plant.
Amen.
Amen.
Boom.
Yep. So as we look at what's going on in Iraq, General Flynn, remember the people of Iran have been desperately waiting and wanting their freedom back for decades. They aren't free because why? The people in control, the mullahs, whatever they call them. They're the ones that are in control. The average person in Iraq just wants liberty, just like you and I do. I love my country. I hate my government. They would say the same thing. The United States must allow Israel to finish the job, to achieve victory. This then permits the United States to truly execute a much-needed and long-overdue pivot to the Indo-Pacific. Folks, our problem is China. It isn't in the Middle East. China's our real enemy. Sorry, Mr. President, they are. They've murdered hundreds of thousands of past few years, alone with deadly bioweapon called fentanyl. They're coming in here. They're taking over America. China is. Not Iraq, not Iran. A positive U.S.-Israeli relationship with new Iranian leadership. What? You mean an Israeli-Iranian leadership that could get along? Get rid of some of those old religious mullahs? Do you ever want to get rid of some of our old religious mullahs? People in Iraq want to get rid of these guys that are ruling over them? Well, it serves to weaken China. Just the oil alone that comes out of the Persian Gulf is enough to bring China to its knees or to an entirely new set of negotiations. If you think 50% tariff will work, wait until China no longer has a free flow of oil. See, China wants to be in charge of Iraq, Middle East, because of the oil. An Israeli victory permits expansion of the Abraham Accords. It's a political and economic means to a very lucrative end where the Arab states work much closely together. Now, hang on. Not if you think it's end times and the rapture. I'm not questioning that. But there is another story. Destruction of the tyrants, choking the light of freedom from the souls of the great Iranian people will prove to be a stabilizing effect for the region. This newfound freedom to the entire free world's advantage. Don't ever miss this. This is about the Muslims' leadership against Christ. Those two can't coexist, folks. Okay? A new Iran, led by benevolent leadership, one who embraces humanity and the global family of nations, will be a force multiplier for the United States in the future rather than an enemy. A major, epic shift. What if we could get along with those people in the Middle East rather than fight? How long have we been fighting them? How long? A war that can't be won. Trying to establish a new world order. It's coming, by the way. Money's going away. Whether it's a Nasir, whatever it is, the American dollar's going away. I don't know if you caught up on that yet or not. Excuse me. Lastly, a relationship between Iran and India could be leveraged. Scroll down, Spence. India is a great, powerful, yet humble nation. The kind you don't want to mess with, and clearly one on your side in a knife fight. India is talking about. If this can be nurtured, and it must, this relationship, America and India, this relationship represents massive force multiplier for the world. The administration needs to embrace the type of consideration and others yet to be considered. President Trump should address these topics and other vital national security objectives with the American people in the near future. Just a different perspective. Just a different perspective. As opposed to, I hate to say it, the American Christian perspective that it's all over. It's all over. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm not questioning anybody's biblical belief. Who told you that? That's my question. Who told you that? Who told you this was the end times? Who told you that? Where did you hear that? Oh, my goodness, I got so much stuff here. I'm looking at it. Do I want to pull up here next? Somebody want to say something? Pull up number nine. Pull up number nine. I got on the show. That's not it. Go back. That's not it. How the heck did I get that? Oh, are you kidding me?
It's the newest video.
I got one on Gilgamesh. What happened to that? Where was that? What's that?
It's the newest video. Just go to, there you go. That's it.
Right down here at the bottom. Left one. Left, 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 left. The other left, left, left. There. Hey, folks. The war in Iraq. Hold on. Let's freeze it. What if there's something deeply spiritually significant, spiritual, going on in the Middle East that we don't understand? Because we don't understand history. We've been taught a different history than maybe what could. I was talking the other day about Tartarian pre-civilizations that we didn't know anything about. People talk about what's really at the end of the earth. Is it an ice wall? What is it out at Antarctica? All this stuff comes together, right? Well, I watched this. Somebody sent this to me. I don't know who it was. Gilgamesh. Vinny, who's Gilgamesh? Anybody out there know who Gilgamesh was?
He was a giant.
Yes. He's not mentioned in the Bible. It's extra biblical stuff. What about, folks, some of this? What really happened in Noah's Ark? What really was going on at that time? Do we really have an understanding? See, Bible says you wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. This brings us into the spiritual realm. Is the spiritual realm real? Is it really real? Are the problems we're fighting in America today, kings of this earth, the beasts of the world, is it the refuge of thousands and thousands of years of demonic spiritual warfare breaking out in front of us? Did they, what kind of newspapers did they have in 1776? Do you think the United, do you think when America declared independence in 1776 that it was in newspapers all across the world? I'd say probably not. Probably not. When the Pilgrims landed in 1492 in Boston, you think that was broadcast on CNN? Did all the world know that that happened? And when Noah got on that ark, brought all those animals on that ark, did all the world really get flooded? And every human being die except those that were on the boat? That's what the Bible teaches us. I'm not questioning the Bible. There's just so much stuff that they've told us that just maybe isn't true. And if we are really in a spiritual war, if there really were giants, Genesis 6, pull that up for me, Spencer. Could you do that real quick? Folks, I don't even know where I'm going, but this troubles me greatly. The Middle East troubles me greatly. Because there's a lot, two different, go to Genesis 6. Genesis 6. Spencer's doing his best there. He's slow to learn sometimes. Came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters are born unto them. By the way, who's recording this? Who's the eyewitness to this?
Coach, I'd like to answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand because we read and we understand that Moses wrote the first five books of Genesis, the first five books of the Bible. But when you look at Genesis in itself, this is a very particular, unique book. Because Moses wasn't around in the book of Genesis. Amen. Therefore, coach, the Lord, listen, this is what's so powerful about Genesis. The Lord audibly gave to Moses the things to write down. Because after the flood, there was no mankind to write these things down. No one is meant. But the Lord told Moses, mm-hmm. these are the things. Amen. And so that's what makes Genesis, because Moses didn't come on the scene till the book of Exodus.
So it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, who would that be, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Hey, friends, this is the Bible. This is the Bible I'm reading. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, man's flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, Dale, help me out. How old was Methuselah? He was over 120 years. What does that mean?
He was 1,000 years old, Coach. Matter of fact, Methuselah, I've done the genealogy. He literally died right before the flood.
969.
Huh. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. What does that mean? What does that mean? Where'd they come from? When's the last sermon you heard in your church on that right there? As an amen. And also, there were giants in the earth in those days, and there were giants also after that. Why? Because the sons of God, angels, I assume, came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which maybe became some mythology, Hercules, and I don't know, I'm just asking. Who wrote it all down for us? Came mighty men, which are of old, men of renown. And God saw it, and he didn't like it. He didn't like that. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Man is totally and completely and utterly broken in his relationship and fellowship with God at this point. And made the Lord so mad, he repented that he'd ever made man. And it grieved him at his heart. Think about that. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from, scroll down please, who I have created from the face of the earth. I'm going to destroy him, both man and beast, and creeping things. I'm glad he got rid of those creeping things, by the way. And the fowls of the air, for it repented me, and I even made him. So what did he do? He had him a flood. Now, folks, are there eyewitnesses here? Dale just explained what happened to us, how this got written. Are there eyewitnesses to this? He tells the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Folks, how? What does this mean? What does this all mean? The earth was corrupt and was filled with violence. They didn't even have cars. They didn't have airplanes. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I'm going to destroy them with the earth. He talks about the ark. Okay. So what do you know? I know. I do some research. What do you know? I know about what happened then after the ark. How do we get all these people again after the ark? Was it really a worldwide flood? Who kept records of all the history and all that stuff? I'm not trying to question anybody's theology. I'm saying this. Who told you that? Who told you that? And how did we get into the Middle East that we're dealing with today and been dealing with my entire life, really? Do we know the truth of what's going on? How did that place become so wicked? And are they finding the bones of Gilgamesh? And are they? Some of these, is the Bible true? Really true? Only it just gives us a kind of a broad vision of it. That's what I question every day. Yeah, Judah, Enoch, Jasher, Ezra, Amos, Tobit, Maccabees, Jubilees. A lot of history in there. But we say it's not the canon. It's not the real, it's not the real King James Bible. So, ancient maps. Yeah, Mel. Lands in the north. What's really going on at the North Pole? Is there a North Pole? I mean, come on now. We have just been force-fed somebody else's written history. That's what. Look, it's happened right in your lifetime, in my lifetime. The entire history of COVID is fraudulent. Somebody say amen. The entire story of COVID is fraudulent right in front of us. And we will be telling our children about COVID 50 years from now, and it'll all be a lie. Crazy, isn't it? So when we hear people say, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. I wish it was that simple. because there's a lot of lying going on outside the Bible. Yeah. Oh, boy. And I hate to tell you this. No, I don't hate to. I'm just thinking out loud. What if Israel goes in and cleans up that mess? And the gospel of the kingdom is spread once again throughout all those nations. And the evil tyrants, the kings of this earth who have set themselves, what if God is bringing them down? I don't want to go to war. I don't want my kids fighting the war in Israel. I don't want them fighting for Israel. But peace in the world comes around as a result of that. Even though it may not line up with what I believe theologically. I'm all for it. What if the greatest revival the world has ever seen is in front of us? What if it really is? We're so doom and gloom, and it's the end times, and it's come, and the beast is going to come. And Bible says in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy, old men shall dream dreams, and old men shall see visions. The greatest revival the world has ever seen, what if it's in front of us? What if it begins in the Middle East? Hang on. Is that your theology? Or is your theology doom and gloom? It's only going to get worse. They're going to set off a nuke in Jerusalem and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Bible says it's going to go into all the world. I think that includes Israel. I think that includes Iraq and Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. Do you understand? We're bombing innocent people in Iran because we hate the government. Because the kings of this earth have occupied the authority structures in government. You understand? You understand?
Boom.
That the average individual Muslim in Iran doesn't hate Betty Perkins. Just wants to be left alone, live. Kings of this earth set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. I got more to say, but I don't want to get myself in trouble. Mark Trump, come on in. You had your hand up earlier. Come on in, Mark, then James.
There is a historical write-up about the times after Noah, put in the chat. It was done by an African historian. He's been doing it for 20 years. A lot of the history still resides in Africa of those times because of the wars and everything that was destroyed in the Middle East. So it might be accurate, but it covers kind of what you were talking about, Coach. All right, that's the one I just put there, Spencer. Look up a little bit. There's one called History. Relevant historical account related to times following Noah. Adventures of Nimrod and Gilgamesh.
Just freeze there a second, Mark. Folks, Let me ask you a question. Folks, look at me. What does the Bible say? What does it mean when it says there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterwards? What does that mean? And I don't know if you remember.
So if you just scroll.
Go ahead, Mark.
If you just scroll briefly, you're going to want to read this, Coach, and maybe have another lesson another day. But down through here, it talks about the commonalities between Gilgamesh and Nimrod, plus the differences. So there are some challenges in the Bible that he refers to. So he actually uses the Bible as some of the history for his opinion. But I think it's good context to what you're talking about because nobody knows for sure, right?
And it's okay for us to talk about this, isn't it, Mark? This is not blasphemous. We have a brain. We have the ability to think.
Well, I think it's tied to Baal. Okay. And I think Baal is the common factor then and now. I think Baal is the god that will be worshiped. It may be under a different name, but I think that's the entity back then that was presiding over the evil people on earth. And I think it's the same one today, Coach.
Put this in the chat, by the way. Hey, folks, what's your pastor taught you about Baal? Do you know anything about it, about Baal? Well, do you know 10 ways to be prosperous? Spencer, if you would, man, put this link in. I'm copying these links. I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. And I'm not going to believe it just because my denomination told me. My denomination believes this, and so they're right. We already said there's 44,000 different denominations. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Folks, are you afraid to know the truth? Are you afraid to find out that maybe you've been wrong? Are you afraid to find that out? I'm not afraid to find out. Actually, I thrive on it. If it's not true, I don't want to know it. And if it is true, I want to know it. James, come on in.
Yeah, love you, brother. The kingdom of God that we're in is so awesome because we got the one who wrote the book.
Don't even understand the depth and the breadth and the height of the truth. We have just a little sliver, just a little sliver of it. Go ahead.
Amen.
Yeah, it's the kind of the precept on precept thing, But we have the Holy Spirit. He penned the book in Genesis. He penned the book in Revelation. So to understand Revelation, you got to understand Genesis because it's the beginning and the end. But that being said, Jonathan, he's a whatever. And this brother Mark just talked. It's the return of the gods. The gods that, because of wickedness and lawlessness, they have permission to come out and do what they're doing. Now, that being said, so right now, what is the fastest growing religion in Iran right now? It is Christianity. God is moving. He is moving in Iran, and the brothers and sisters in Iran are praying for deliverance from these wicked people, and God is
They're leaders. Hang on, James. Folks, don't miss this. The Iranian government does not necessarily represent the Iranian people any more than the American government represents the Americans. We have to understand it's a battle between the kings of this earth. That's the battle going on, not individual people.
Yep, it's so true. I can see the brothers and sisters in North Korea, the brothers and sisters in China. I mean, these brothers and sisters are they love Jesus probably more than we do. But I come to a place that I intercede and I pray for my brothers and sisters in North Korea because they experience in China, they experience stuff that we do not. So that being said, the restoration of the Iran is not listed in Ezekiel 37 and 38. Iran is Elam. Persia is mentioned. So Persia, the Shah of Iran, the Sun Shah, whatever, it's going to be a restored kingdom for a season. All the chess pieces that we see in this going on in this world is they're just positioning for the restoration of Messiah coming, and it's coming fast. We are in acceleration mode. Everything is accelerating. Amen. The wickedness is getting more wickedness, but the glory is getting more glorious. Amen.
Amen. There's a separation going on, man. We're in the midst of it, man. Amen. Amen, James. Mary Beth.
I was just going to say, I forgot.
I'm sorry. I missed that.
Sorry.
Amen. That threw me for a loop there. I'm looking at my notes. Let's see, where am I? George Howard. Come on in, George.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just saw a thing yesterday where the shot of Iran, I guess it's his son or something like that, is coming into the picture. And they were saying that, I don't know the relevant, I don't know the relation of with him and being the son or something like that.
Yeah.
But ever since the Shah back in the 70s and 80s left and the mullahs came in, that's when a lot of the turmoil started happening too. Ooh. Because you had the radicalization of the Muslim take over. And when the Shah was there, there was more peace. They all got along more and all that. But I did see something on that the other day, but that's kind of paraphrasing it. It's not totally what I was saying.
What launched the Gulf War? Why did we go in? Does anybody remember? Why did we go into the Gulf War?
My understanding was weapons of mass destruction. I mean,
they never had them.
Correct.
Did they know they didn't have them? We had to go in there because they had weapons. Remember what the Shah was? It the Shah? He had weapons of mass destruction. We had to get those American boys in there and get rid of those weapons of mass destruction. By the way, which he never used on us, even though he was going down and knew he was going down. So you'd think out of a vengeance he would use those weapons of mass destruction. He didn't have them, and we knew he didn't have them.
Yeah, it's like, why would he sit on them if that's the case? Yeah, and that's just like the story with Iran. Now they're saying, I mean, Netanyahu's been saying the same thing since 90, or was it 91 or 92 or something like that, that he's going to have them within 2 weeks or a month or something like that. And that meme that was going around for
that. Hey, Vinny, do me a favor real quick here, Vinny. How long has Netanyahu been in power? How long? Is he king? Is he ruler for life? How long has Benjamin Netanyahu been in charge in Israel? Somebody find that for me. Is he a king? Is he a king? Kings of this earth have set themselves and rulers take counsel together. Anybody find it yet? While you're looking, come on in, Craig.
Well, maybe Spencer could pull up the PDF.
17 years, 263 days. He's been king of Israel for 17 years, 263 days. Longest serving prime minister in Israel's history. His current term has been marked by controversy and criticism, including the ongoing war in Gaza. Oh my God, Craig. 17 years. Huh? 17 years he's been in charge.
Well, maybe Spencer can pull up that PDF I put in there just about a minute or two. Remember when I asked if we could do 21 prayers, mean 21 psalms for the beginning of...
Well, you got a memory, dude. Yeah, I remember that now. Yes.
Right. And what was that about? It was Daniel. And Daniel fasted and prayed for the first 21 days of the first month of Nisan, which is where I said a lot of things happen in the first month of Nisan. You know, kings go to war, this and this and this. So we were praying that, you know, that there could be a peaceful solution. And if you actually go through and read what that was asking, right, I'm not saying that with the conflict didn't happen, but if you look, President Trump has been trying to find a peaceful solution to this, because that's what we were praying over. That's the PDF.
So Craig, here's what it is, right? In our heart, we just want peace in the Middle East. That's all we want. And then it looks like Trump's going in there stirring it up, and people say, oh my God, what's he doing? He's going to start the Third World War. What's he doing? Well, I don't know. Maybe he said, I've had enough of this crap. Had enough of these mullahs. Let's clean that mess out. I don't know. How's it been working out for us? How's it been working out 18 years of Netanyahu fighting the mullahs, killing American boys? I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe Spencer can scroll down a little bit and you can see the very end of what we're praying for. But this goes into another block pattern of time, okay? So one of the things I said over last year is when Jimmy Carter dies, things change. Why? Okay, who was the president when the Iranian hostages were taken? It was Jimmy Carter. Okay, so Jimmy Carter was voted in 1776, All right, add 50 years, 2026, right? You're in that 50-year block of time that basically the Iranian regime, as far as the religious part of it controlling Iran, has been in for 45 years now.
Okay. All right, so listen, I want to shift gears. Here's why. Look, so now you're thinking about it, okay? You're thinking about it. Rather than just believing what your denomination teaches you about what's going on in the Middle East, could we have peace in the Middle East? It's, oh, no, Coach. No, I read the Bible. We can't have peace. We can't have peace. Nope, ain't ever going to be peace there. Coach. All right. Well, then let's not try to do it. Huh? I don't know. I've said before, I'm America first. I'm not Israel first. I want peace. I'd like to have peace for the average, everyday Muslim citizen in Iraq. I'd like them to have peace too. I would like for them to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But even if not, I'd like them to have peace. We don't have to be at war with them constantly. Other than, does somebody want us at war with them constantly? That's my question.
Just one more thing, Coach. So if you go back and look at what the news accounts are, it says that President Trump gave him a 60-day period of time.
Yep.
If you go back 60 days from June 12th, you go to April 12th, right in the middle of this prayer situation that we're in.
Amen. Amen. My mind's going 1,000 directions right now. Well, maybe not 1,000, close to 1,000. Close to 1,000. Closing arguments today for Scott Shara's trial. Closing arguments. Let's pray that justice rolls down like a mighty river there. What a warrior he's been for us. Let's see. Randy, you had your hand up. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach. How do we know, Coach, that if we would have had a different perspective on Islam and on the Muslims the last, say, 50 years, how do we know that the Christianity wouldn't be in there right now taking over again if we wasn't there holding up Judaism and saying, you know, it's closer than you guys when it's not? So Coach, here's my point. Back in 1920, right after the Balfour Declaration, the Palestine was 22% Christian and growing. And then you have the change in the situation, and you change Palestine, and then Christianity starts going down. It's less than 1% in Israel. It's only about 2% it was in Palestine. It was growing, Coach. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They saw that it was going to take over, and it was going to push out the Judaism, and it said, no, we ain't going to let that happen. So they have to create this crusade again between Islam and Christianity, and we think, yeah, they're not our friend, but same time, Coach, they're coming to Christ probably at a greater rate than our nation right now.
And they'd like their sons to live. Right?
So what I'm saying is we our policy, the United States policy, which was dictated to us, and the Christians, you know, we go in there as tourists, but we can't preach the gospel. So what does that tell you? You know, I'm telling you, Coach, this is not what it seems. We've been duped for these years, and I don't care what your theology is. You got to just look at it for what it is. Just forget about what you've been taught and just look at it. Just truly look at it honestly for what it is and see if you can understand, you know, what God's perspective is on this. And I think we would be a lot better off as far as the gospel and the kingdom of God if we would get out from under our idolatry of Israel first. You know, it is idolatry, by the way, Coach. So
it is.
Thank you, Coach. Nobody will want to talk about this, okay?
That's right. And see, here's the thing. They assume what I believe. They assume what's in my heart. That's the worst mistake you can make, folks. I'm just sorry. Pull up number two for me real quick. Here's what's going on. Got this from Dr. Paul this morning. Put it at 1.5 speed because we're going to be a little bit. The matrix revealed. That's what we're dealing with. Go ahead.
Please, come, sit. I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole. Hmm? I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he's expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in God, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain. You were programmed to believe that by taking the red pill, you would escape the Matrix. It is the sense that you have been lied to that has brought you to me. I want to share with you how to truly escape. You've always known that God exists because he put that knowledge into each of us within our souls. We cannot function as we should without loving God and obeying his commands. Life is empty without him, and apart from him, we can do nothing. You knew God existed when you were that scared little boy calling out to him for comfort. You recognized his existence when you escaped that car accident unscathed. You saw God in the eyes of your newborn baby. You've always known. The problem is, you've never given your life to him, Neo. Everything you've done has been about you, your family, your friends. It's never been about fulfilling your purpose on Earth. Do you know what I'm talking about?
God?
Yes, God is everywhere. He is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see him when you look out your window, or when you take a walk in the woods. You can feel him when you go to work, when you lose a loved one. He is always there. Satan has designed the matrix of the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
You've been lied to your entire life. The American dream, patriotism, the Constitution, money, wars, schools, government, church, spiritualism. All part of Satan's elaborate worldly schemes to lead you away from God. You are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell, taste, or touch. A prison for your mind and soul. Unfortunately, many people don't want the truth. They'll believe they have the power within themselves to right the world, to cure disease, to become enlightened. They're all misled, pursuing knowledge, further enslaving them. They are blind to Satan's dual nature, having men pursue both knowledge and security and comfort. You see, Satan lures men with knowledge, and when that trap leads to chaos, he becomes the angel of light, tempting with safety, security, and comfort. God has only wanted one thing since the beginning, Neo, to love you. Now you have a choice. Time is urgent. This is your last chance. After this, you can't say you were never told. You take the blue pill, and the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe, and live a life of emptiness as you chase worldly pleasures and accolades. You take the red pill and believe you have the truth, that even without God, you believe you're enlightened and can attain glory through your own works. Or you take the white pill. This is the hardest pill to swallow because it is the end of your selfish pursuits. It means you come to the place of repentance for straying from God, not following his commands, not loving him. You face yourself, finally. You acknowledge that your life means nothing without the creator of the universe in your life. The white pill is the most difficult, but it is also the most rewarding. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Will you follow him?
Scott Shara created that video. Is that unbelievable? Put that in the chat. That is the Matrix, isn't it? And see, we don't understand. We don't understand that at the heart of the battle between good and evil is the souls of men. That's what it's about. The souls of men. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved his creation so much, he sent his Son to die. And Satan comes along, and he's trying to steal those who God sent his Son to rescue. And we make the gospel about everything about except what it should be about. The hearts and the souls of men. We believe government. We believe medical experts. We believe teachers and lawyers and Hollywood stars. Not the truth. We don't believe the truth. We stop teaching the truth in our schools. Can't even say a prayer in school. Amazing. Amazing. Got a bunch of everyone in here. Excuse me. Jack, come on in.
Today would be a good day to call your local TV station news department and ask them why they're covering this other stupid trial and not the Scott Sherrod trial that actually has a potential to impact the nation.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I made a couple phone calls yesterday, and they're all garbity-garbity. Answers always, well, we got to check with our affiliates. We can't just do that on our own. But if you put, if you plant the seed, maybe something will happen.
Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. I just I wanted to go back to where you were speaking about the Bible and, you know, who wrote it, who said that, how did this get in there? And I think anybody, I think everyone who is serious about finding the Lord has had those same questions. They want to make sure this book is true, it's truth.
Right.
And I learned this from Chuck Missler, but I'm going to drop a link in the chat that's to something very helpful about the Torah code in the Hebrew Bible. This is, you'll find stuff like this all through the Bible. And this was one of the first ones I stumbled upon where you can do this all by yourself. Just open. Well, if you had a Hebrew Bible, you can start with the Bereshit, the Genesis, that T in Bereshit, and count every 50 letters, and it'll spell out the word Torah in Hebrew. Okay, so it does this for all five books of the Bible. You skip letters, it has the word Torah. It show, it kind of shows you that this is not a man-made thing. This wasn't men. This was combined by all these different authors, yet it still has this underlying thread that holds it all together to show you some source from outside of our time that Holy Spirit is weaving his proof in there.
This whole, folks, this natural realm is nothing more than a holding tank. That's all
Amen.
It is. Natural right. realm is simply a holding tank where the battles fall out for the spiritual realm. Oh, my goodness. This stuff. Let's see. Who hadn't been in there? Wes hadn't been in there yet. Come on, Wes.
Hey, good morning, Coach. So yesterday I was on YouTube, and I don't know if you know this, but, you know, creators can create polls and ask their viewers questions, stuff like that. So one of the creators I follow who's a Christian asked a poll, and this is going to blow your mind. Do we, as Christians, worship the same God as the Jews? I answered no. 70% of professing Christians believe that we worship the same God as the Jews.
Is that right? Hey, folks. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. The Jews deny Jesus. You understand that? That's the point he just made. You understand that? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Judaism and the Old Testament law are not the way to get to heaven. One way, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever shall call upon your religion or your Judaism or your or whatever, following the law. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing the feast. You probably, okay. But that is, folks, those aren't salvation issues. Those aren't salvation issues. Remember, God made the law for man, not man for the law. If you put the law in there, it's for your protection, for your edification. Okay. You ain't going to get in heaven because you kept the feasts. I mean, you may, but I mean, that's not going to be why you got in there. They're all for enhancement of your life, your spiritual walk. They're all important for that. Not one Jew in Jerusalem, unless they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, will not enter the kingdom. I don't know why this is so hard for us to understand. And I don't know why we spend so much time honoring those who are not going to be in the kingdom. Just lost a bunch of friends right there. See you tomorrow.